Welcome. This is guest interviewer Janice Kaufman. I've lived in the Fells Prospect, Fells Point neighborhood for almost 25 years, and I'm here to interview Stephanie Given, who is a mom raising two girls in our fine neighborhood. And I guess the basis of the show is we were talking about it's urban mom, urban myth. Many people don't think that it's a place to raise kids, but we wanted to talk with Stephanie about just that topic. So welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, James.
So obviously the first question would be why raise your kids in the city as opposed to the suburbs?
We first moved to the neighborhood, like I said, 15 years ago, and knew we wanted to have children and felt like we were ready to do it in the city. Back then, there were not a lot of choices about schools. There was Wolf Street Academy, which I think was still General Wolf at the time. There was no public charter school yet. Patterson Park Public Charter was not there yet. And we were ready to do it. Little kids, preschool, we were going to be fine with it. 15 years later, we are still here, still with the kids in the city.
Well, we're glad you're still here.
Thank you.
So obviously, there's been some pretty radical changes in our neighborhood to make you want to stay.
Absolutely. I think from the first, you know, time I had the baby, my first child, I thought I was the only pregnant woman in the neighborhood. Started walking around the streets, you know, quit working, so I was home, and started seeing other pregnant women in the neighborhood. So happens that a few of those families are actually still in the city.
So there's a real sense of community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We were at the park every morning, at the Thames Street Park, every morning at 9 o'clock, you know, coffee in hand. Let the kids play till nap time and then go home. But once you were out there and realized you were a mom, there were a lot of other moms out there too. And even today, I walk every morning, and as we walk by Thames Street Park, the park is filled with toddlers, which was me, you know, 8 years ago.
Well, I was really struck. My husband and I were at the park last weekend for that concert, Sunday concert in the park, and I couldn't believe how many children were at the park. 5-10 years ago, you would have seen very few.
Right. So. Well, we did that too. That, you know, one of the things I think you and I had talked about was the city is filled with activities. And if you seek them, you can walk to them, and they're mostly kid-friendly, which is important.
I mean, this is something that Baltimore Internet Radio will be offering, as any resources that we can provide to moms and families that want to raise their kids in the city, where they can find that information about parks and such and groups.
And the activities that happen weekly.
Yep. So tell us about that. How do you seek out and find those things?
Usually networking, obviously, talking to your neighbors and seeing what's going on. But I sign up for everything, DBFA, Patterson Park. I'm on their newsletter list. So you get the information in the mail, and you can pick and choose. And like I said, the Walters Art Gallery, my children went to an art class once a week, you know, for 6 weeks or whatever, and it was free. And they still, now my kids are 8 and 10, and I still get things in the mail telling me what's going on at the Walters. So I think that's the first way to go, is put yourself out there and get on every mailing list. And then you find there are numerous things to do on a weekly basis.
What about sports, just out of curiosity? I know there's that Patterson Park Duck Pin Bowling Alley.
There, that Duck Pin Bowling Alley. That's actually a big, my kids are at Wolf Street, and that's a big field trip for them. Oh. They love the bowling alley. But sports through Patterson Park and through the affiliation with the school, my daughter this year played basketball and soccer, and she thought about softball but passed on that. But so there's, you know, obviously with that beautiful park, lots of opportunities for sports. And again, walkability. So the thing for me is being in the city with two kids and getting in a car and driving it. Everywhere we go, we walk. In the rain, in the snow, umbrella, snow boots, rain boots, whatever you need, you just walk to where you need to
go. It may. I mean, I do not have children myself, but I would imagine instead of having to put your kids in a car put them in the car seat and all the rigmarole that's involved. It's easier to just walk out the door and start walking.
And they actually say for a children's brain that kind of exercise, that walking, that stomping in the rain puddles is really much better for them than sitting in the car.
That's interesting.
Yeah, listening to a DVD.
Well, also, I would imagine it's good for their health because
absolutely.
It keeps them from, you know, just sitting in a car
absolutely.
And, you know, they're exercising.
So here's the thing, Janice, that I discovered. When my kids were little, we would sit out on the stoop. We still sit on the stoop 15 years later, as everybody does in Baltimore. But we would sit on the stoop, and I would take a bucket of chalk and some bubbles, and we would just sit outside. And my kids loved it, didn't want to be inside. And I find, you know, a neighbor had a baby shortly after I did, and she said, my daughter is always at the door. You know, there's things right. to look at. There's things going on. And fortunately, we're in a safe neighborhood where you can play on the sidewalk and you can mm-hmm. be outside with your kids and not fear for anything, aside from the intersections.
Right. As long as they're not in the street.
As long as they're not in the street, they can play beside the street.
Right.
But that was a big draw for me, too, that we could be parents together, co-parent, you know, neighbors and people up the street, and we would all gather in front of somebody's house and drink coffee and let the kids play with the chalk and... You know, you were able to socialize as well as your kids socialize.
An interesting point that you just made, you were talking about co-parenting.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that term in terms of when you say co-parenting, I think you're talking about other people in the neighborhood, which is very interesting.
Well, I kind of am. I feel like, so a lot of us are transplants. There mm-hmm. are some of us who have been here forever, but a lot of us are transplants. So when you move here without family... You lose the mother who's going to take your kid overnight or your
right.
sister who's going to take the kids. So we rely on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we, you know, Anne-Marie is a friend of mine who lived across the street. She would bring me her kids and she would run to the scratch and dent and go do a little shopping. And then she would come back and I would go. And so I think this neighborhood especially gives you that sense of you're not alone. You're not alone, which is important.
Oh, it's nice to hear. Could you give us a little more detail. I know you touched upon the charter schools and mm-hmm. such. Could you give us a little more information about that?
Sure. So preschool was a private preschool in Canton called PACT. And a lot of people I know in the neighborhood have all sent their children there. And that was that you went with your child for one day and then your child went by himself for the second day. Really cheap, cost effective. The parents would sit in a room and get educated on how to raise your child and discuss issues that you were having with your kids. So we did that. And then, you know, you get to the fourth year, your child's 4 years old, and you're thinking, oh my God, where are they going to go? About that time, Patterson Park Public Charter formed. Hampstead Hill had done a big turnaround. And then Wolf Street Academy had become a charter school. Or was becoming a charter school. They were in the process. And again, you know, I went to each school. They're different. One is project-based. One is direct instruction. You know, take all that into consideration when putting your kid in school. But my biggest thing was a lot of community association members kept saying to me, send your kid to Wolf Street. Go to Wolf Street. Mark Gaither is great. He's the principal. So I did go. I met with him, liked him very much. And then I was torn. I was Hampstead Hill. You know, Hampstead Hill goes till 8th grade. Wolf Street only goes till 5th. So I was thinking long term, like, you know, getting me through till high school. And then a girlfriend said to me, Stephanie, you're going to want to be involved in your kid's school. And are you going to get in your car and drive to Hampstead Hill? Now, that's pathetic because Hampstead Hill is really three blocks away. It's not. But the point was...
when you live in the city, just getting into your car at all...
At 7 o'clock at night,
right.
forget it.
Mm-hmm.
So she pointed that out to me, and she said, I know you're going to want to be involved. This is a block away. So fortunately, I made the right decision. We have been at Wolf Street, both my children, since kindergarten. Lucia, my oldest, is finishing this year. She'll graduate in 5th grade. But I can't say enough about that school. Now, you talk to my friend Portia, she can't say enough about Patterson Park Public Charter.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to another family, they can't say enough about Hampstead. That was not the case. When I was, you know, a new mother with a 1 and 2 year old, we were thinking, oh my God, St. Casimir, we're going to have to go. And I am Catholic,
yeah,
so that would have been
there
fine.
There were no choices.
There were no choices. You were paying for it, mm-hmm. and St. Casimir was really your only choice. And now we even have on Chester, it's another Catholic school run by the Jesuits.
Okay.
Which is a high school.
It was Holy Rosary.
Exactly.
Okay.
So now we even have another choice.
Cristo Rey.
That's it, Cristo Rey. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
My pleasure.
So yet another choice in the city. And education, you know, when you're first a new mom, that's not really even a thought to you. You're just enjoying being at home and going to the park and going. You were able to shop, you know, able to shop in your own neighborhood with your kid in the stroller. And then you go beyond to think about the education. But we're fortunate right now. Baltimore City, especially Fells Point area, is in a great position for education.
It is. And actually, I know our city councilman, Jim Kraft, at his constituent breakfast last week, was saying that they're planning on attracting another 100 families into Southeast, and they are planning on building 3 additional schools in our district.
I mean, we could use
it. In the next 4 years. So.
We could use it. Now, yes. I volunteer a lot at Wolf Street, and we turn away families a lot because there's just no room. That's a small building.
Well, something that you also touched upon when you were talking about this is the cost. You know, I'm pretty sure buying a house in the city is less expensive, though the taxes might be higher. Buying the house itself is less expensive than living out in the county. But there are trade-offs, I mean, in terms of the costs. Would you say it may be cheaper to raise children in the city based on what you know? Or
cheaper in that entertainment value for sure is cheaper because the city offers, I mean, I hate to keep repeating myself, but the city offers endless activities. If you pick up the guide, you know, there's lists of what's going on. And at Christmas time, forget it, you can be busy from, you know, September through January with activities. And I think for that, there's a cost-saving factor.
Yeah, you're
obviously
certainly saving money on gas because you don't have to get in the car.
And you don't have to pay for the, you know, concerts in the park. That's, you know, free concerts in the park every week.
Right.
You know, for a series is huge. Mm-hmm. And that, again, is a good activity. It's a social network for the parents. It's also a place for the kids to run and be free. So, you know, I mean, obviously the school systems, you know, they say the city is. I'm very pleased with my school. With my daughter is in, she will be in fifth grade. She's reading at a fifth grade level. So next year when she's in fifth grade, she'll be reading ahead. And Wolf Street has created a curriculum for her and one other girl. So they're very catering.
Yeah, that's great.
They are very catering. And we also, being in the city, and I'm sure every public school has it, but being in the city, you feel it's nice. You walk home and all the other families are walking by you. And, you know, you run into the corner store and you see a mom that your kid goes to school with. So I like that. Or the mom of a child, you know? Mm-hmm. I like that. But I'm not sure about the financial. I mean, life is expensive.
Oh, that's true. It is. It's expensive.
It is.
And it's expensive to have children, no matter whether you live in the suburbs or the city.
Absolutely.
So I also want to touch upon the multicultural elements of living in the city.
Okay, so this is one of my favorite things to talk about.
Oh, great.
When I first mentioned to, I'm Italian, you know, grew up in a very traditional family, and met a family, also the father was Italian, and they asked, where are you sending Lucia? Lucia was ready to go to kindergarten. Where are you sending Lucia? So I said, oh, Wolf Street Academy. And she said, oh, my husband will never let my son go there. And I said, why? And she said, oh, there's too many non-white people. Now, she didn't say that. She used a slur that I'm going to keep off the radio. So I said to her, I'm really appalled to hear that. I said, you know, I have been at the school. I've met some families. And the Italians, the Hispanics, the Irish, we are all about family and our children. So I was really, I was up in arms. Turns out a year later, she ended up sending her son to that school. He was at Casimir, went to that school, and he, you know, was on the honor roll and excelling in math. And the father was like, wow, that school's really doing a good job. So for me, I live in a city because I don't want to see all white people. I don't want to see all people that look like me. I want my kids to see the world is filled with black people, white people, yellow people, orange people. And you get that in this neighborhood. Now, I will tell you, we are the minority at Wolf Street. At Wolf Street, the Caucasians are small.
Well, you know what? We're becoming the minority in this country altogether.
You may be
in the next few years. In the next few years, the statistics say that Caucasians will be the minority in this country.
That does not surprise.
So again, it's a microcosm of what the entire country looking like. So,
and I'm very comfy in that. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, nobody likes to be the minority all the time,
right?
Everywhere. I feel like the environment that my children are in school is very warm and nurturing with the other parents. You know, we have this thing at morning meeting where the principal, all the families gather and the principal talks about what's going to happen today and what's going on. That room is filled with parents. Now, you know, fourth and fifth graders could walk to school by themselves, but that room is still filled with people who care about mm-hmm. their kids, their education, and they want to be involved. And that's multicultural in that room.
Are your kids learning Spanish by chance?
So that's it's a big thing because I'm torn because we have a translator. And I will tell you that my oldest sister, who is, you know, again, grew up in New England, and she's very conservative Republican. She comes for a sleepover in Baltimore, and we go to morning meeting, and I'm so proud to show her my school, and they are interpreting. So the principal speaks, and then there's an interpreter. And my sister is looking at me from across the room, flaring her nostrils. And I'm looking at her thinking, like, what's going on? Well, as we leave the building, she said, "That is ridiculous. I can't believe that they were translating for the parents. Everybody should be speaking English." So I said to her, "Roberta, the parents need to be informed. And if we don't communicate with them, they're not going to know what's going on with their kids." Now, the other side to that is, it would be nice if my children would learn Spanish, maybe get a little lesson. However, in the schools, they want everybody to speak English, as they should.
Right.
So they're picking up, you know, hola, como estás. They're picking it up from their
friends.
Sure,
they know more than I do.
Well, and they know a few bad words, I will say, that I wish they'd forget. But we do have at Wolf Street, again, part of the neighborhood and the community, there are English classes. And we suggested that next year a Spanish class for a parent like mm-hmm. me who would like to better communicate with another parent at the school.
Well, I mean, I was thinking, and I'm a little surprised that they're not offering some Spanish lessons to the kids, just because I know if you learn a language, the earlier you learn a language, the better it sticks with you.
Right. So. Well, I think, and you'd be amazed. You see some children come in speaking in Spanish at mm-hmm. home. That's the only language. And within weeks, they're able to talk to their friends, which is amazing.
Yeah,
but
that is
again,
amazing.
It's that young brain.
Right.
But I think the kids are only learning from each other, you know, here and there. There's no formal experience.
Well, I know. Not for me personally, because I do not really speak another language other than English. But I have cousins that speak fluent French and Spanish. And it's amazing how helpful it is when you're out in the corporate world, being able to say, "I speak multiple languages."
Absolutely.
It's actually a very, very helpful tool.
Absolutely.
You know,
well, I always encourage, in that same vein, I encourage mm-hmm. the kids, the fourth and fifth graders who are bilingual, mm-hmm. you know, keep it up and speak Spanish at home, because it's important that you could get a job in the United Nations.
Right.
You know, I think it's a skill that I wish more Americans should
have. Oh, yeah, certainly. And I know this is... this is becoming an international, global economy. So the more languages you know, the better.
You bet.
The better everyone's going to be. So let me touch upon something we haven't touched upon. I know there's a lot to do. What about restaurants and services and, you know, such as, mm-hmm. you know, dry cleaners and that kind of things? Things that you want to have available to you that are at easy reach for you.
I have everything I need. However, I do have to say that Canton Crossing coming up is going to
be... Oh, yeah.
I mean,
with the
there's a Michaels there for the arts and crafts in your life. But let's see. There's everything. There is a little inside joke that, you know, if you have a child, you can go to Hanager's with the child in the car seat, but once that child gets out of the car seat, you are no longer welcome back to Hanager's until they're older. But I think every place in the city, I mean, obviously, timing is everything.
Right.
I think as young parents, my husband and I would go out at 4:30, 5 o'clock, mm-hmm. take the kids with us, we'd have a nice dinner, you know, a drink with dinner, and then we were gone. Because my husband remembers very well being a young man out in a bar or a restaurant and hearing a screaming baby. And that's
well, it might be helpful with a lot of the restaurants now do have outdoor seating.
Exactly.
So that's I think
huge.
That sort of accommodates families with kids.
Yes.
They sit outside. So
one of the best places for that used to be, it's gone now, was Duke Law. So right at the waterfront, and they had the big grassy area, so we would sit outside and the kids would be on the grass. I think most places in Fells Point are very kid-friendly.
Yeah.
I use Paris cleaners because I can walk to Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Scratch and Dent was a huge favorite of ours when the kids were about 2 years old. There were four moms. We would load the kids in the stroller, and we would go to Scratch and Dent for hours. I mean, literally 2 hours at a time, looking through the clothes.
It takes that long to go through everything.
It takes that long. But that was our outing. You know, on a gray day, if we couldn't take the kids to the park, we'd run up to the Scratch. And so I feel like everything that you need is here. One of my favorite things about this neighborhood is a corner store. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in, you know, Rhode Island in the Beach community, where you had to drive to the Cumberland Farms, which is like Wawa.
Right.
And here, I mean, I love being able to go to the corner store. I love that my corner store has onions and tomatoes, mm-hmm. you know, if I forgot something, or a lump of garlic. Lump of garlic, is that what you call it?
I don't even know.
I think it's a clove. But
I
love
the
corn.
It's a head of garlic. That's what it is. Yeah,
no, that's a head of lettuce.
It's a head of garlic, and then no, they make it cloves, right?
I think it's a clove. All right. At any rate, I know you can get one at the corner store. But, you know, we, as our kids are getting older, we're able to go out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But we made our social environment 1900 Bank Street. We had the kids out in front, and even now on a Friday night, we'll all gather. The kids will play.
I know. See you out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we socialize, and we're
that's
appreciative.
That's how you roll in this
town. That's how we roll. And it's nice because you feel like you're getting out and being with grown-ups, but you're still parenting your child, which is a plus for us.
So are there any structured parenting groups, or is it just sort of impromptu, everybody gets together?
You know, I'm kind of out of that. I will certainly find out for you.
But oh, great.
I'm out of that in that when the kids were little, before mm-hmm. school, you needed things. And like I said, I assume that the younger moms still do. The library has story time once a week. The main branch, and now we have the anchor branch on Eastern Avenue. So that became the routine. You would do the library one day, the Walters Art Gallery another day. You know, walking around the neighborhood another day.
Right.
The big, you know, a big hike would be to the Inner Harbor, you know, in the stroller brigade. But I'm sure there are parenting groups. I know DBFA is...
Which stands for...
Downtown Baltimore Family Alliance.
Okay. Oh.
And they are a plethora of information. I mean, they have... anything you need to know, they would be able to direct you.
Well, we will have those resources online on Baltimore Internet Radio. So anybody at any time can go to the website and access some of those links.
And they actually have a very popular listserv, so I'm sure a lot of the listeners are already on their listserv, which, you know, again, things like baby outgrew the stroller, does anyone need a stroller?
Right.
That, you know, that kind of networking all in one place.
Oh, that's great. What about babysitting services? Anything like that?
So, again, community.
Right.
We had a friend who has since moved away, but he was we called him our Manny. He was a young Haitian man who was fantastic with mm-hmm. the kids, and we would gather all the kids at one house, and he would watch all the kids for us. Now, he's since moved away, and it turns out that if you have a dinner to go to and your girlfriend doesn't, she's going to take your kids, and the next time you go out. We did run into an issue just recently where we all needed to go out. And I was uneasy with leaving the children. We were leaving the neighborhood. And I thought, you know, they're only 13 was the oldest. So a friend's daughter goes to friend's school. And friends has a list of young babysitters, mm-hmm. you know, seniors in high school who have been checked and you know, background checked or however that goes. And so we actually hired one of those girls to come to the neighborhood and watch
the kids. I mean, I know some of the kids are getting... older, so now they're going to be able to do
it's
some babysitting.
It's true. I mean, even my Lucia, if I say to her, I'm just going to run to the corner store, you know, she wants a couple bucks when I get back. Well, I babysat Gianna. You know, no, that's being part of a family. That's not money worthy.
Yeah.
But,
only if mommy and daddy are going out and having fun.
Exactly.
Does that count as
babysitting? Now, legally in Baltimore City, and I know this because I was very anxious for the day I could run an errand without my children. Legally, I can leave my 8-year-old home alone But my 10-year-old cannot be home to watch the 8-year-old, which kind of doesn't make sense, but it makes sense. You have to be 13 to watch a sibling. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of in that icky spot. So right. Fortunately, my neighbor's daughter is 13, so she comes over and she'll cover me. And, you know, for $20, I could be gone for 2 hours.
Right.
Peace of mind. It's
yeah.
worth it.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth it.
Oh, yeah. Is there any other bits of information you'd like to get
out
there?
I think that when you choose to move to a city or live in a city as a single person, you know, again, school probably is the biggest worry as your kids get older. But I feel like, you know, what you're looking for changes. And I think if you put the effort in and look, you'll find that there's a lot to keep you in the city. And we have had numerous friends move out of the city. Mm-hmm. You know, they want a yard. A lot of it boils down to parking. With or without kids, you want to be able to park when you get home. Mm-hmm. So I kind of get that. But I think people have a fear of the Baltimore City Public Schools. And again, I think if you do your research, you'll see that these schools are testing very well.
Well, I know the National Academy Foundations, mm-hmm. and I know personally because I've worked with the Digital Harbor School, mm-hmm. is fantastic. And they have a 100% graduation rate. And their college placement rate is better than most public schools.
And some of the high schools mm-hmm. are really fantastic in mm-hmm. the city. The thing is, you have to overcome, you know, the fear of the crazy people in the world. And, you know, there are more crazy people in the city, it seems, that the suburbians think.
Well, I don't think so. I think they're just more condensed
and
in a smaller
area. And I think we're more
area.
Aware of that. I feel like when you live in the city, so mm-hmm. somebody once said to me, you're doing your children a big service. And I said, what's that? And they said, your children will be able to live in Paris, France, or they'll be able to live in Narragansett, Rhode Island. Mm-hmm. That they will, because they have lived in a city, they will be able
to
decide.
They've seen it all.
Exactly. Just recently, there's like a big fat dead rat about as big as a cat in the street. And my kids are like, they check on it daily. You know, they're watching it decay.
It's like a science experiment.
It's a sign right in front of us. So I think that it's good for my children to be in the city. You know, if I can share one little story with you. When we were going to the library at the time, it was, you know, our weekly trip to the downtown branch. And we come to a red light, and there's a homeless man at the red light. Now, I was one of those moms who always had a bag. I had, you know, change of clothes, snack bag, juice, water, whatever. So I look at this man, and I really can't afford to give him money. So I say to Lucia, give me the pretzels. Give me your pretzels. So she hands me the bag of pretzels. I open the window, and I hand the pretzels to the man. Well, Lucia freaked, crying, screaming, those were my pretzels. I wanted those pretzels. So, you know, take you 2 years later, and Lucia was the one rolling down her window and handing out her snacks. Now, to me, I grew up in a town that there was rumor of a homeless man, but you never saw him. Right. You never, you know, that was unheard of. And so for my children to have experienced that, you know, of course you wish everybody had a home and everybody had health care and but I feel like in the city, they are able to see that, you know, life isn't peaches and cream all the time. Right. And that we have to work hard to, you know, have the things we have and what we need. And there are some people who need our help. And it made me so proud the day that she rolled down the window and gave up her cookies, no less. It wasn't even the pretzels, it was the cookies, which, you know, was even better. And that touched me. That made me feel good, that she gets it. She knows that we're lucky and we have a roof over our head and a daddy who works really hard for us. And this man needed a little something. So I like that.
Well, it's nice to hear that. I mean, I know I grew up outside of Philadelphia, and the elementary school I went to was very integrated. This is back in the early 70s, but it was fully integrated. We had, you know, every multicultural, you know, represented at our school. But my cousins went to a school that was nothing but white. And so when they merged into the junior high and everybody was mixed together, they sort of freaked out and they didn't know how to handle it. And so they were pulled and sent to private school. And I think that's kind of a shame because they really didn't get that experience to be out there in the real world to see what what the United States is, which is a melting pot.
I was just going to say that. I mean, it is so, like, to me, it's weird. if I go somewhere and there's all just like white mm-hmm. people, or and weird if there's all just black people. I just think it's weird. I think the way the United States is today, and especially in Baltimore, mm-hmm. I feel like there should be people from all walks of life, and that's what our parents, our right. grandparents came here founding this on the melting pot.
Right.
So I completely agree with that. I think it's a little strange. I remember a woman who lives down the block, she worked in childcare, and she was leaving one job, and she was looking for another job, and she went, I don't want to say the name, but she went to one of the, you know, daycare centers mm-hmm. in the city. And she came back, and I said, how did it go? And she said, oh, they offered me the job, but I couldn't take it. And I said, why? And she said, they were all just white babies in the room. And it, like, bothered her. She said, you know, she thought that was strange. Like, why? You know, this is the city. There mm-hmm. should be. So she found another job, and she was very happy with her multicultural children.
Right.
But I agree with that. I think that you come to a city, and you expose your children safely, of course, but you expose them to different cultures. Mm-hmm. You know, we do this thing at Wolf Fest called Cultural Feast, and it's the day before we break for Thanksgiving. And it's every family brings some traditional food from their
and
culture.
And you bring?
And I bring lasagna, yeah. or I bring gnocchi, or, you know, I bring something. And actually, the kids look and go, ooh, what is that? They've never seen it before. But that, to me, is a great expression of, you know, again, mm-hmm. there's only one Italian dish, and I think there's a couple of, you know, Southern cooking dishes, but right. other than that, it's mostly Hispanic, but it's just a nice feeling. It's this warm, fuzzy mixture, and mm-hmm. again, I, you know, I grew up in a very loud, loving, kissing, you know, out loud family, and I feel like most of my neighbors are that same way. Most of the parents at the school are that way. Most of my neighbors on the street, you know, I just you hug, kiss, hi, how you doing?
Right.
And that's a big draw for me for the city. Big draw.
Okay. Well, I think we're going to wrap this up. I really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy mom schedule and coming in and talking to us and letting everybody know all the resources and how great it is to be a parent in Baltimore City,
Absolutely.
Specifically in the Fells Prospect, Fells Point area. And we appreciate it. Thank
well,
you
thank
so
you
much,
thank you for
Stephanie.
Having me. Thank you, Janice. Okay, I'm glad to be here.
Oh, great. This is Janice Kaufman as Stephanie Given. Just speaking to Stephanie Given, Stephanie on the block. She's one of the many moms that live in our neighborhood. And this is Janice Kaufman signing out. Thank you.